second. You must connect to the call by
Welcome to Bell Conferencing Solutions. Please enter your conference ID followed by pound. Thank you. You will now be placed into the conference.
Hello?
Hello.
Who's speaking?
This is Lloyd Tapp. I'm the representative for Michael Jack.
My name is Keith Brennenstuhl. I'm vice chair here at the tribunal. Let me spell out my name for you so you can write it down, keep a record.
Actually, we do have it. We were sent notification with your name on it, so we do have it in our possession.
Okay, fair enough. The purpose of this conference call today is to determine what material should be filed with the tribunal to determine what witnesses will be allowed at the hearing, and other matters as I deem fit in terms of managing this case. I just want to mention off the top of my head that I'm sitting here in a room with six bankers' boxes full of material. And it isn't organized all that well. The registrar has attempted to put it in some sort of order, but I'm noticing as I'm going through, as I went through the material, I may not have everything in the proper place. So you'll have to be patient with me.
I must indicate, Mr. Brennold.
Who's talking?
It is Lloyd Tapp. I guess the proper procedure, I should identify by name first who's talking and continue. Am I right?
Well, I can recognize your voice.
Okay. I must indicate that we've done every bit on our part on behalf of the applicant, that I've done what I can to put it in a chronological and a fashionable format. To that end, the applicant's correspondence with the tribunal is always in a three-ring binder, apart from the loose material. We have also undertaken, and it has been rather an extensive undertaking, to put together the volumes of disclosure, in particular 12 volumes of disclosure on behalf of the respondent. That was not in a chronological or time format, but and that has been put together in our analysis of the respondent's disclosure. So yeah, I can understand the frustration or the time it would take for one to go through and refer to specific items.
So, Mr. Brennenstuhl, it's Vanessa Souza, counsel for the ministry. Just to respond, we certainly had a lot of volume on this file, and we've provided indexes for both materials that were arguably relevant. That were to be relied upon. If you refer to the indexes, you'll see that the documents have been organized according to witness as best as possible. So I hope that assists.
Yeah, I'm not saying anybody's done anything wrong. I'm just mentioning that there is a lot of material, and it may take me a moment or two to access certain documents.
Of course. And again, it's Lynette D'Souza. D'Souza, counsel for the ministry. Since it is, I guess, the respondent's request for case management conference, this ties into part of the reason why we wanted to bring this request forward in terms of ensuring a fair, just, and expeditious hearing. There is a lot of volume, and we hope that, you know, part of the process today will assist in determining sort of the scope of this hearing.
Okay, let's deal with that issue first of all, the scope of the hearing. What are your thoughts on that, counsel?
Well, as have you had an opportunity to review the request for case management conference that we filed?
I have.
Okay.
It's sitting in front of me.
Okay, so there are a number. If you can permit me to give a few sort of opening type remarks.
Uh-huh.
So I guess the first thing I want to just confirm that today we're only addressing the request for case management conference that was on March 20th, 2012, and not any subsequent.
No. Just the that request.
Okay. And in terms of, so you've had an opportunity to review the submissions?
I have.
And you don't need a review of any further facts or anything?
Only if it provides context for your submissions.
Sure. And just before, again, before I start, just in terms of administrative issues, again, even in this request, there were a number of documents that were filed. I just want to clarify that there may have been an administrative error and that there may not actually be a Schedule M attached to my request for case management conference.
Yeah.
And so that's, as I go through the, you know, as necessary, just if there is no Schedule M, then the other documents after M get bumped down.
Right, okay.
Okay. And then yesterday evening, it's possible that the parties and the tribunal may have received a copy of an interim decision with respect to Weissman and Burns.
Right.
And if that was the case, I sent a copy of a case yesterday, it's the actual final decision. Which I'm citing in I believe it's page 8 of my request.
Okay.
Just sort of administrative matters, which I think will be helpful to both parties.
Right.
And then just before we begin, there's a final matter that I wanted to, I hope this helps the parties. You know, I understand that the parties have very different interests in this particular proceeding, and I just wanted to ensure that the parties were aware that there is a need for civility and respect during these types of procedures. There was a particular comment in one of the applicants, in the applicant's actually response to my request that caused me a bit of concern. It's at page 49 of the response to our request, and I can read it to you. It just says, all I can say, this is in terms of background, it's in response to an issue that I raised regarding exclusions to Mr. Jack Wilsay.
Yep.
And in his response, it says, all I can say is the counsel is absolutely out of her mind to even suggest, et cetera, et cetera. And I guess I just wanted to ensure from the tribunal's perspective as well that, you know, there is an obligation under the rules to ensure that courtesy and respect are encouraged during these proceedings. I think that's an important piece.
Mm-hmm. And you're absolutely right.
That's just an opening comment I wanted to make.
Okay, I appreciate it.
So in terms of the orders that the respondent was seeking, and again, the whole purpose of bringing this request is to help facilitate in a fair, just, and expeditious hearing. So there are two sets of orders that we're looking for. There are orders that deal with procedural issues.
Mm-hmm.
There are orders that deal with substantive issues. And perhaps if we deal with the procedural issues first, that might be a way of moving more quickly to the substantive issues.
Okay.
So what I'll do is perhaps I'll just address the issues that I think from the respondent's perspective, if I can have the opportunity to go through them all, and then, you know, as necessary, the applicant may want to reply after it's finished. So in terms of the procedural issues, And given the number of witnesses at this point, the tribunal has received the witness summaries and the witness list and the volume of documents on this file. I think the respondent is requesting that the tribunal consider scheduling additional hearing days for this matter. And we're prepared to proceed on the three scheduled days, which were May 22nd to the 24th, and then add additional days as necessary. Or I understand that the applicant also suggested in their submissions that they wanted sort of a consecutive days being blocked. So that's perhaps something the tribunal can consider or provide direction on in terms of how to proceed, given the volume on the file.
Why don't we look at that at the end of our first session, which is scheduled for the end of the month.
Okay.
I can't, without talking with the registrar, book any other additional days at this time.
So that will be addressed at the end of the first session?
It will.
At the end of May. Okay. So May 24th is what you're suggesting. That's the canvas additional days?
When is the hearing, what are the hearing days?
The 22nd to the 24th?
Yeah, the 24th, yeah. We'll deal with it then.
Okay. And then, and this may be something, again, just procedurally in terms of managing the file, we sought a request for providing anticipated lengths of time of cross-examination and examination in chief.
Uh-huh.
Again, the point of this request is to help in the management of the hearing.
Yep.
Given the number of witnesses. And again, this is something the tribunal may want to consider giving in a direction as the hearing approaches at a mutually agreed upon date. It may be helpful to have an estimate of the amount of time required for the examination chief of the witnesses and the cross-examination of the other party's witnesses.
Let's talk about that. There are, how many witnesses, Mr. Taff, are you proposing?
We are anticipating.
23 on the record.
23.
Yes.
But some of them are the same witnesses that are on the respondents' side. So there are four that will be fewer.
Okay.
So I'd say around 20, 15 to 20 is my rough estimate. Officially right now, 23. But because some of the witnesses are the same witnesses as respondents' witnesses, there are four, there will be fewer.
Okay. We'll look at your witnesses later on in this conference.
Sure.
Okay.
How long do you think it'll take to examine and cross-examine the applicant counsel?
Examine?
Yeah. In chief and then cross-examine. Will it take a day?
Yeah, I expect it would be more than a day. Certainly Mr. The applicant's representative would be doing the examination, I'd be doing the cross. I would expect a large part of a day for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps the applicant's representative could address how long he intends on calling. Is that something that would be more appropriately addressed in terms of the applicant's representative?
Yes.
Yeah. So how long do you think you're going to be in chief?
I would anticipate being at minimum a day and a half on the applicant. So given that length, at minimum a day and a half, I would anticipate a day and a half to 2 days at minimum to be on the safe side.
Okay, here's what I'm proposing. We limit the first 3 days to hearing the applicant's evidence, which means you don't have to bring any of your witnesses, okay? And obviously if we need to reconvene, the witnesses will be required at that point in time. But it may be appropriate to have another case management session prior to reconvening. But let's agree that the first 3 days At the end of this month, we'll be limited to the applicant's evidence, both in chief and cross, and that there'll be no need to bring witnesses.
Okay.
Well, so if I may say something?
Sure.
Yeah, a number of my witnesses, we were going to subpoena a number of my witnesses. I'm a professor from university to basically give a tribunal background about my character, my accomplishments, and who I was. Because basically, for 8 years, everything was perfect, and in 1 year, I became so incompetent, and my name was maligned by.
Okay. So
anyway, so I really wanted to establish this background, therefore. I wonder if, our objective was to bring them before I testify, and I'm not sure about how the tribunal regulates those proceedings, but what you're saying is that we should not be calling them. Is that correct?
That's right. We'll just hear from you for the first 3 days. And like I said, later on in this conference, we're going to talk about some of your witnesses in terms of if they're necessary to be witnesses at all. We'll talk about that.
Certainly.
Okay, first 3 days, applicant's evidence. No witnesses are necessary. Other than the applicant, of course.
Okay. And now the next issue, I'm just going to resume. Mr. Chair, if that's okay?
Yep.
I do the order. So the next issue was the OPP documents. I mentioned that the OPP has concerns about the documents in possession and disclosed by the applicant.
Mm-hmm.
And the concerns were identified in my submission.
Mm-hmm.
They relate generally to the possession of OPP documents, which were collected while employed by the applicant, as well as documents that appear to have been generated or created after his employment, and yet he is in possession of them. And we just wanted to bring to the tribunal's attention that these are sensitive policing documents that obviously relate to the administration of justice.
Uh-huh.
They contain third-party information. And the basis for our concerns, again, were, it's contrary to the OPP orders, and we had concerns relating to FIPA and the YCJA.
Uh-huh.
So we've raised these concerns. It's up to the tribunal in terms of how it wishes to proceed, giving these concerns. If the tribunal has an order or direction regarding the use of the documents, then that would be helpful as well.
Okay. Am I to wait for a certain cue from you, Mr. Brennan, before I respond?
It's Brennan's stool.
Mr. Brennan Stuhl?
I'll ask you for your input.
Okay, I will wait.
I'm just reading this material here.
It's up to the tribunal, I expect, to decide in terms of how they are to be used or if they are to be used. I just wanted to bring those concerns to the tribunal's attention.
Okay.
And if the tribunal makes an order that's about how they are to be used or if they are to be used, then the parties would be bound by that order. But that's something that we have to let the tribunal decide, given the concerns that we've raised.
It may be appropriate to deal with that if and when any of these documents are tendered,